Praise God.
And you know what I love best about Sunday nights? Is you get to hear three people share testimonies. And the one thing that you hear different circumstances and different stories, but you hear everybody was toe up, and all of a sudden, here comes Jesus. And I love that. I'm telling you, let's give God a hand clap tonight. You know, when I hear these testimonies, all of a sudden I feel like there's a greater measure of faith that stirs up within me. You know, sometimes we have some family members and friends and coworkers and people in our community that we find ourselves praying for. And sometimes we can't figure this thing out how God is going to do it. But every time I come in here and I hear these testimonies, I'm like, you know what, Lord? Let's get them. Let's get them. Praise God. Tonight, I want to read a story to you from the book of Luke, chapter 6. And the title of my message tonight would just simply be The Right Hand. The Right Hand. Luke, chapter 6, verse 6. Now, it happened on another Sabbath also that he entered the synagogue and taught, and a man there whose right hand was withered. So the scribes and Pharisees watched him closely, whether he would heal on the Sabbath, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts, and he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Arise and stand here." And he arose and stood. Verse 10. And when he had looked around at them, he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he did so, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. Just want to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we come to you tonight, God. And Lord, we come to you, God, knowing that you are already here. God, we know that we belong at your throne tonight because you gave us an invitation. And so we come tonight boldly, God, and we're not demanding one thing from you, God. But we come in tonight, God, knowing that this is where we belong. And so, God, I ask you this, God, these are your people here. God, and this is your word. God, I'm asking, God, that you would cause your word to go forth and that you would cause it to prosper in the way that you set it out to do. God, let this word fall on good ground in the hearts of your people. God, let it produce a fruit that would last. God, one that would remain. And Lord, we are so grateful tonight, God, for your grace, God, and for your compassion. Lord, we thank you so much in Jesus' name. Now, I want to be honest with y'all. I did have some notes, right, that I had wrote and I wanted to share with you. But I had a talk with Pastor Carter. And you know those talks. You keep it straight. So I just really want to share what God has put on my heart from this passage for you. Now, the Bible says that it happened on the second Sabbath, and the Sabbath being a day like today. And I was just wondering in my mind as I was reading this, would this be a 6 o'clock service that they was at, kind of like where we at now? And the Bible says that Jesus was, he was teaching. But while he was teaching in the synagogue, there was a man there who had a withered hand. And I'm going to tell you something. I believe that the Lord put on my heart that there is a man in here tonight that you might have a withered hand. And it might not just be a hand. It may come in the form of your mind, the way you're thinking. It may come in the form of how you try to do things and get things accomplished. And it may come in the form of our relationships, how we deal with people. Amen? Now, I don't know if this man ended up in this church service just because he was looking for Jesus. Did he need to hear a good word? Or did somebody invite him to the service? Tonight, it might be a man or a woman here that somebody may have invited you tonight. You don't know why. They might not even know why. But I want you to be encouraged tonight, because just like Jesus saw this man in that congregation with a withered hand, I believe that he sees you tonight. Now, the Bible says that while Jesus was in this particular service, there was a group of people there that they were watching him. These people were scribes and Pharisees, and they were watching him to see if he would heal this man on the Sabbath day. And so, I believe that Jesus don't even care tonight. If there are people that are looking at you like you're strange, I'm talking about people who feel like there's so much you need to change in your life before you can even be accepted by Jesus. I'm talking about those people who may have counted you out. You know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about those people who call you names. They say you're going to amount to nothing. I'm talking about those people who may be full of religion, find themselves attending church, but yet being apart from him in the relationship because they're looking at the outward things. I think about where the scriptures say that as he looked at these Pharisees and scribes, he looked at the man and he told that man to stand up, to come up to the front. And in a couple of minutes, I'm going to give some of you that same opportunity to come up to the front. See, what he was doing is putting that man on the spot, but not for his sake, but for the sake of those who were looking to accuse him. I'm going to give you that same chance tonight to be put on the spot, for God to make you a spectacle, for he to take your life and to turn it upside down. You know, I want to talk to you a little bit about this withered hand. This withered hand, this word withered means just incapable of functioning properly. And when I think about that, there are so many areas in my own life where I find myself incapable to function properly. Just real quick, I'll be honest with you. I remember prior to coming to Christ, I was about 20-something years old, and I was in the military. But I met this young lady, and you know, we were dating, and we were just enjoying ourselves, sexual immorality. We didn't know no better. At least we thought we didn't. But something happened. This young lady got pregnant. And growing up all of my life, I come from a dysfunctional family, but all of my life, I really wanted to be a father. Like, I wanted to be a husband. I wanted to be a father. I wanted to have a house and a job. I wanted to be normal. And so I find myself in the military, and now it's time for me to go overseas. But yet she put this question, she put this impossibility in front of me, and she tells me that she's pregnant. And so, because I always longed to be a father, I married her. And, you know, I tried to do the right thing, the best that I could. I mean, I wanted to be a husband. I wanted to be a father. And I did everything that I know that I can do. But it was a part of me that was withered. There was a part of me that was deformed. A part of me that didn't even know how to be a man. I didn't know how to be a father or a husband. And then I did something that was even worse. You know, I was failing at being a husband. I was failing at being a father. And so I sent them home. We got on the airplane. We went back to the States because we were living in Germany. And I sent her home. And I told her that I was going to come and pick them up after I spent some time in New York. But I didn't. Because I couldn't. Because I failed. I didn't know how to be a father. I didn't know how to be a husband. And I know those feelings, those thoughts that I had inside of me to want to be a father and to want to be a husband, I know that those were placed there by God. See, I know this man with the deformed hand, he wasn't always like that. He probably had an accident of some sort. And he wasn't always like that. But now he finds himself in a place where he probably cannot even provide for himself. He probably can't work no more. He can't provide for his family. I can imagine his self-esteem being low. I can imagine all the voices in his mind that telling him that you're no good. That you would never amount to nothing. I can even see those people in my mind's eye that say, yeah, look at him now. Thought he was all that. Thought he was smart. Look at him now. But I thank God that we have a Savior by the name of Jesus Christ. And as we look in the scriptures, not only is he full of grace and full of compassion, he is full of love and full of forgiveness. You see, one thing I didn't share with you is this. You know, in all of my failures as a husband and as a father, I didn't stay like that. Like, just like this man, the Bible says that Jesus told him to stand up. And I tried to stand up. But I felt like my life was like on a merry-go-round. And I didn't know how to get off this thing. But I stood up. I heard his voice saying, Derek, stand up. And I remember that day that I stood up. What I didn't share with you is that, you know, even before I was living for God, I met another young lady. I got divorced to that young lady, and I lost the relationship with my daughter. But I met another young lady, a beautiful woman of God, full of excitement, full of glory, and on top of all that, she's the prettiest elder we got in Times Square Church. Don't get mad at me, brothers. But I met a woman, and she became my wife. And we had a wonderful family. And once again, this deformity in my life was never dealt with. And I failed again. And I was losing my relationship with my now wife. I was losing the relationship with my four children that we had that was very young. And I heard that voice again saying, Derek, stand up. And I know that there are people in here. And my brother's already standing because he hear that voice. Yeah. Let me tell you about the voice of God. The voice of God speaks louder than any other voice you can ever hear. He speaks louder than the voice of any kind of an addiction. He speaks louder than the voice of any pornography. Oh, I shouldn't go there, right? Any relationship that we shouldn't be in. Oh, come on now. You know when we find ourselves in these places where it's so hard and there's a portion of us that want out, but we can't get out. It's nothing that we can do. You see, God never called us to this relationship to work this thing out on our own. See, when he told that man to stand up, he knew that this was an impossibility of his. He couldn't stand up in the midst of all of these people who were puffed up in their chests. You know what that must have felt like? People around you looking at you like, look at him. What's wrong with him? What's going on in his life? People could see the deformity. They see his hand being unable to move or to function. And there's many of us in here tonight. I know this without a shadow of a doubt, that we find ourselves in that place. We are unable to function. We have some things that we are facing, some things that we are up against, and we can't get out. You see, when I told you that my life was on this merry-go-round, there was a part of me that kind of settled with that. I said, you know what? Because deep down inside of my heart, that deformity began to eat up the promises that I had. It began to silence all of those good things that I wanted for myself in life. And so what I did is I found myself just settling for death. Not suicide, just death. Because I felt like that was the only thing that was coming to me. Now, I'm not angry with you. I'm sorry. I get a little passionate. You know why? Because I know that there's a evil, dirty, nasty devil who is out here deceiving those who belong to be in relationship with God. I know it. I know it. And he tries to keep us in these places of deformity. But here goes this Jesus, because the Bible says that this man, he stood up and he arose. And then Jesus spoke to him and he said, put forth your hand. Now, if you know anything about a paralysis what this man had, is you can't move. It's no way he can do it. But there was a measure of faith. See, there was something that he must have knew about this Jesus. See, he must have heard that he was the lamb that was going to be slain. He must have heard that he was the Son of God. He must have heard that he was going to find himself hung on a cross with nails in his hands and in his feet. He must have heard that they was going to put this thorn. Listen, I looked up these thorns, and these thorns were kind of long. And you know those plastic milk cartons and these different plastic buckets? These thorns were so sharp and strong that they would just peel right through those like butter. Imagine what it would do to a head. Did he know that Jesus would be on that cross to forgive him? Did he hear the authority in his voice to speak into that deformity? Did he know these things about him? Did he know that he loved him with all of his heart and all of his soul? You know, when I think about that, when you think about somebody that don't deserve to live, that would be me. I don't deserve to live according to man's standard. But we got a heavenly Father who looks down and he looks in that miry clay and he goes, you know what, Derek? I got you. You belong to me. And then he takes a life and he turns that thing upside down. You know what I didn't tell you? On January the 1st, because I didn't know how to be a father, I didn't know how to be a husband, and I got divorced and the whole shebang. But God gave me another chance. That beautiful elder that I just told you about, we had the opportunity on New Year's Day to celebrate our 23rd anniversary. You know what that means? I got a wonderful family. I got 6 children who I love. They love me dearly. I see you, baby. And let me tell you the greatest story of all. Well, not the greatest, but just one of these great stories is that daughter that I left. My daughter that when I left her mom's, I left her too. And For 21 years, I was unable to see her. And, you know, there was a part of me that I always wanted to be in relationship with her. And when I met my wife here, we came into the relationship. She had a son. And I made this deal with God. It was like, God, I said, I don't have a relationship with my daughter, but I want to raise this son here like he was mine, with the hopes that you would send a man to raise my daughter, to be a father to her. And God so answered my prayers. I'm telling you, 21 years later, my children are on Facebook and they go, Daddy, we think we found her. And let me tell you something. I used to get upset because I used to look for her and search for her and I could never find her. And I would get close and I would get excited and then they would move and then I'd be depressed. And I was bringing that home to my family. I remember I told God, I said, you know what? I ain't doing this no more, God. I said, I'm not going to look for her again. And if you want me to be a father to her, you're going to have to do it. And I let that thing go. And one day, me and my wife was coming home from a vacation, much needed. And the kids were on Facebook, and they was like, Daddy, I think we found her. And I said, yo, stop playing with me. And they said, no, Daddy, I'm serious. She got your eyes. So I said, ask her, is this her name? And tell her you're looking for your long-lost sister. And she called back, and she said, yeah. She said, that is my name. And she said, my father's name is Derek. And I'm telling you, I almost passed out. And we are in relationship with each other today. We talk every day. She lives in another state. But I'm saying all of this to say this, is I don't care how far you went. I don't care how far apart you got from God. He will never count you out. You see, people will count you out. But God will never count you out. And it's never too late to come to God. And that's why tonight, look, tonight, wherever you are, he's calling you. He's telling you, stand up. And he's going to tell you tonight to stretch forth your hands. And I'm telling you, everything God tells you to do, he gives you the power with it. He will give you that. He will give you the ability. He will enable you. And the one thing about our God that's so loving is he will make you a spectacle. You see, that brother Arthur was talking about how he could, if you would have told him that this would be his life. Man, if you would have told me that this was going to be my life, that I was going to be standing in front of thousands of people talking about the goodness of God, I would have looked at you like you crazy. Sometimes I'm like, I've got to pinch myself. But that's what God will do. God will turn your life upside down, and he will begin to amaze all of those around you. And then he'll take you, he'll clean you up, and then he'll put you before the world. And he'll say, look at my son. Look at my daughter. This is what God wants to do to you tonight. And here's what I want to do tonight. I want to give you an invitation. And I'm going to tell you this. I don't care where you come from. I don't care how clean your life was. I don't care how dirty your life was. If you cannot say confidently that you belong to him tonight, what I want to do in a few minutes is I want to afford you the opportunity. We're going to do something really simple. That's what I love about God. He don't make it complicated. We make it complicated. All we're going to do is this. I'm going to give you an invitation. We're going to meet right here. Every last one of you. We're going to meet right here. And then we're just going to pray. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to watch God. You see, but we're going to watch God, not like the Pharisees and the scribes. They was watching him because they wanted to accuse him. We're going to watch God. And then you know what we're going to do? We're going to give him praise. We're going to give him some glory. That's what we're going to do. We're going to bless the Lord, just like she's son. Let's stand to your feet tonight. Praise God as the band come, and she's already there. Listen, we're going to make this thing real simple. We're going to make it simple. We're going to make it easy. As the band begins to pray, and some of you can start coming now. If you know that God is speaking to you, God wants to turn some things up in your life, don't wait. Do not wait. Do not be afraid. This is for you. And the same way that that man's hand was restored, God is going to restore you tonight. I'm telling you. I know this. He's going to restore you tonight. And I'm going to tell you this. If you have a friend, and even if you don't have a friend, and somebody's sitting next to you, you ask them this. Say, listen, yo, if you go, I'll go up there with you. All right? Just whisper over to the side. And as the band begins to pray, I want you to come on up here. And we want to pray, and we want to believe God. And then we want to watch him so we can give him some glory. Amen? Those in the balcony, don't stand still. This is for you. This is for you tonight. The same thing that he did in my life. He said, greater things than these shall you do. Those places where you think, no, this can't be for me. I went too far. God is saying, no. Do not stay in your seat tonight. He's saying, no, this is for you. I love you, my son, my daughter. I love you. Fathers, God wants to restore you tonight. He wants to restore your relationship as a father. First, he wants to heal your heart and your mind. And then he wants to restore your relationships with your children. In her testimony, she said it. She said, a young lady, even a young man, we need our fathers. And so I plead with you tonight, fathers. Stand up. Stretch your hand forth. Let God heal you tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. I tell you, it's nothing more pleasing to God than to see his people turning to him, looking to him, just like a father. That's all we want. So we just want to hear our children say, Daddy. And tonight, I want to pray for you, and I want to ask you just to repeat after me, because your voice is important to him, and he wants to hear your voice. Okay? I want to ask everybody to repeat. Father, we thank you, God. God, you are good. Because even when I didn't deserve, you gave me anyway. And Lord, I thank you tonight that as I ask you for forgiveness of my sins, all my wrongdoings, just that quick, you forget them. You don't even remember them anymore. And Lord, I ask that you would come into my life. Make me a person of God. One who hears from you and follows you. Lord, I'm asking, in my inability, give me the ability. Take this deformity, God, and make me whole. And just like that man in that synagogue, heal me, God. Heal me, Lord. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that I am no longer the same. I am a new creation. And behold, all things have become new. I don't think the same. I don't walk the same. And I don't talk the same, Lord. And so, Father, I ask that you would seal this decision by your Spirit, and that you would help me to understand what it means to be a person of God. And I thank you that you love me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's give God a hand clap. This is a happy moment for God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.